Okay, so we are going to talk about kingdoms today. Mm-hmm. Kingdoms. We are in the second phrase of the Lord's Prayer, which is verse 10, Matthew chapter 6, verse 10. And it says, "May your kingdom come soon. May your will be done on earth as it is in heaven." Your kingdom come soon. May your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. So we're going to jump right in here mm-hmm. and talk about kingdoms. Let's start by just kind of parsing out what these phrases mean real yeah. quick.
Because like when he says, when you say, "May your kingdom come soon," mm-hmm. people might wonder, like, wasn't the kingdom already here? Right.
Jesus was here.
Yeah.
Didn't he usher in the kingdom? And right. And I'm sure that's what his disciples are thinking too. Well, like, if you're the Messiah, mm-hmm. then that's what we've been praying for. So, yes, his kingdom had come, but the fulfillment or the completion of that had not. And so that is what will happen at the second coming. Mm-hmm. When Christ returns, he will usher in the rule of God over all of creation. Mm-hmm. So there was more yet to come in this request for God's kingdom to come. They were still looking for the work of the Messiah to be completed.
Right. Which in the New Testament, obviously in the last chapter, we see that it will be completed.
Mm-hmm. Yes, it will be. So this request, what Jesus is telling us, is that we are asking for God's reign, his rule as king, to be over all creation. And even now, we're longing for that.
Yeah.
That is our desire as kingdom people, as part of God's kingdom, is our desire that God would rule over all, that he would be king over everything even now.
Mm-hmm. I think even when we don't realize it, that is what we're longing for.
Oh, yeah.
Every one of us has that longing inside of us.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah. I may have said this before. Do you know when I feel that the most?
This I don't know if you've told
so
me this.
Silly.
No.
At parades.
I know, you've never told me that. Why?
At parades. I don't know. There is something like when people are marching and the music is playing and everyone is clapping. There is something. I don't. You're not a crier, but
I'm not.
Like, my mom always cries at parades. I always just get this feeling like this whoosh of emotion that comes over me at a parade. And a few years ago, I realized that is my longing for the kingdom of God to come. Like, it is this longing for that celebration that we will have
yeah.
in the end when he comes back and he is the conquering king and he is marching, you know, and we're just following in this triumphant procession. I think it just wells this longing for that up inside of me. And I get so overwhelmed.
I love it. It is funny. I've never experienced that at a parade. But no, I probably will now. I've never thought about that. Mm-hmm. I'm always like trying to keep Quinn from running in front of the fire truck. But yeah. No, that is cool.
Right.
And it will be exciting and it will be beautiful.
Yes. Yes. And that's what, you know, Jesus is saying, like, your kingdom come, like, would you be our king? And of course he is the king, right?
Right.
But like, would God's kingdom reign by Jesus, would it come now here
and reign over everything?
Everything. And that piece of this prayer, which we just say, needs to become the desire of our hearts.
Because in our broken world right now, when his kingdom does come on earth as it is in heaven, mm-hmm. there will be no brokenness.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah. And may your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. So because God's kingdom is established already in heaven, he rules there. Mm-hmm. His kingdom is
perfect
there. And so his will is done there. Mm-hmm. And so this next line is just saying, like, we want to see it here.
We want your
will. See your will be done here. We want to see your kingdom reign here mm-hmm. now. And as God's people, we have the capacity to do this and to usher this in and to see more of it than I think we do.
I agree with you. I think that we can get so negative, mm-hmm. and I've been guilty of this, but with like unbelievers or people that are so against following Jesus and just have this hardness in their hearts, we're like, well, that's just how they are. That I'm not going to push on them. Like, that's just how it is. But I think we need to realize that we do have
dominion.
Yes. And things, and God does. And like, things can change. Things can be better, and his kingdom can come, and his will can be done.
Right.
But we have to
live in defeated.
Yes. Living defeated. I love that. No, we need to live victoriously.
Yes. Yeah. Absolutely. This is like, this whole prayer is such a battle cry. And I just love this. You know, like, we have got to understand that there are kingdoms and there are rulers and there are principalities, and the kingdom of darkness seems to have a lot of power here and now. But we are part of an everlasting kingdom. We are part of a kingdom that has far more power and far more glory than what is being seen, displayed by the forces of darkness in this world. We are part of that. And we are part of that. We are part of that kingdom. Like, we are part of the procession now. Like, let's get this parade going, people.
Mm-hmm.
This is exciting.
Yeah, no, it is exciting. I agree.
I love this. And, you know, this follows what we were talking about in the beginning of this prayer, just establishing who God is and how holy he is. And now we're saying, okay, you are who you say you are, and you are so amazing and so holy and so glorious. We want to do what you want here. And
your way is higher, yeah.
We want to see your power here and now.
And he will show us if we ask. I think I get caught up sometimes, and this is true. We do live in a broken world, but sometimes I'm like, well, this is what it is. Like, I am going to suffer with this chronic illness because the world is broken. And yes, the world is broken, but we get to be a part of his kingdom. Yeah, that is so cool.
So I think part of where we get this wrong, or where this breakdown is that we have been duped into believing that we are the kings and queens of our own kingdoms.
Mm-hmm.
We have elevated ourselves.
Yeah.
And we think, and, you know, I will say society, but we know it's the enemy that says, your body, your choice.
Mm-hmm.
you can have it your way, right? Was that McDonald's, Burger King? I don't know. Like, it's all about your way, your choice, your truth, your body, right? And so we have gotten into this, it's mine, it's mine, it's mine. And we start claiming that this is my kingdom.
Mm-hmm. And then it's your will versus his will.
Life, right? And so God's will becomes secondary to my will.
And it happens easily if you're not careful. I think
we're raised to believe that.
I was just thinking, like, with Quinn, that it's easy to make her think that it is her kingdom. Also, I studied early childhood development, and they literally, and I think it's to the age of 2 or 3, believe the world revolves around them. They cannot even understand that it doesn't. So we are born with that.
Right. And then the whole way through, like, all of growing up, it just gets reinforced. Mm-hmm. And so when we're here today as grown adults, this has been so ingrained in us that we believe that I am the king of my own kingdom, mm-hmm. that I am the queen, you know, that what I want to do, I get to make my own choices. I get to do what I want to do. And has God given us
free will?
Free will? Yes, he has. But in that, his desire is that we would choose his kingdom,
mm-hmm.
that we would choose that he be king, that we would choose to follow him in his triumphant procession. Because guess what? All those other kingdoms will fall, will come crumbling down, are going to be destroyed in the end.
Yes. And when we when we keep our eyes on his kingdom, and I know we talk about this all the time and looking above, but mm-hmm. everything else falls into place.
Right.
When you have the kingdom mindset.
Yeah. Yeah. So let's just illustrate this, right? Mm-hmm. If I was going to build a house, I would hire an architect, and an architect would come and we would talk about what I envisioned for my house and what my dream was of what it was going to look like. But then the architect comes in and they draw these blueprints and these plans that are like layers upon layers and pages upon pages of measurements and specifications. And they have to think about everything, how the plumbing's going to work, how the electricity is going to work, how to build the foundation. They think of every little piece and every little detail. And it is so specific. The measurements are insane. And then they come in and they hire, you know, they will hire all of these contractors to do all the different work and do all of the different pieces to make this house come together to be a working, viable reality.
Yeah, like electricians, plumbers, all those people. Yeah.
They hire all of them, the builders, the flooring people, everybody, right? Now, if each one of those contractors comes in and says, oh, yeah, those are great blueprints. I'm going to do this my way. Mm-hmm. I've got a great idea. And you know what? I think the lighting needs to be over here instead of over here. And I think that this is the way we're going to work the plumbing. And this is the way we're going to build the footer. And all of these different people come in and they just start building this house their own way without consulting what the architect has said and drawn out for them. This house is going to fail. Is going to be an utter failure. It may be a creative, but it is going to be a hot mess, right? And it's not going to withstand anything. Mm-hmm. And we do the same thing.
Yeah.
We think we are the contractors, right? I am going to build my kingdom, my life, the way that I want to build it. I'm going to do whatever I want, and I'm going to be successful. Mm-hmm. And what we don't realize is that we are completely neglecting that the master architect, God, has given us a plan. He has a desire for our lives as part of his kingdom. It's not to establish our reign. It's to establish his reign. It's not to establish our glory. It's to establish his glory. And he has this whole plan for us. And then we just come along thinking, I can do whatever I want and live however I want. He lets us.
Mm-hmm.
He lets us build our own kingdoms.
But then they fall.
But we will.
Mm-hmm.
It will fail. And at the end of time, we will have nothing to bring. And the other option is we can live as part of his kingdom, establishing his reign, allowing him to rule in our lives, allowing him to be king of the kingdom, saying, God, what is your will? May your will be done on earth. May your will be done in my life. May your kingdom come to me today. How can we advance your kingdom? And we allow him to do that. And at the end of time, when Jesus comes back to establish his kingdom, we will have all of these things to lay before his throne rather than all of it
withering away. Yeah. What are some examples of like kingdoms that we build? Like, what do you mean when you say that?
Yeah, well, I mean, it can just be our life, right? So it could be our reputation.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe we're busy building our reputation.
Mm-hmm.
I think.
A lot of it relates to idols, right?
Oh, absolutely.
Like we idolize something and then we build our kingdom around that.
Right. So the Instagram life and making it look like my life is so perfect, right? Building my kingdom. Allowing others to see what I've done. Maybe it's our family and we put all of our energy into building this kingdom of family. Not that family is bad, but God has to be first, right?
Mm-hmm.
His kingdom first. Maybe it is our career. Maybe it is even a ministry.
Mm-hmm. And like that's what just came to my mind is sometimes our kingdoms can look good.
Really good.
And it can look like God's will.
Mm-hmm. But if it's being built on our own shoulders or on our own accomplishments, our own strength, or our own glory.
Right.
It's not everlasting.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So it's tricky, and for each of us, it might be different. The temptation may be different of how we build our kingdom.
How would you?
Maybe it's control. Sorry, the Lord.
What? That.
You know, it's a facade of control.
No, yeah, that is mine. That is totally mine. And what's so funny is it can feel peaceful mm-hmm. when I have control. It can feel secure, like God's will, like, oh, I'm doing what God wants, and because I feel peaceful. And I think that there's this backwards way of thinking that when you're doing God's will, mm-hmm. when you are bringing the kingdom to earth, mm-hmm. that we feel peace during it. And mm-hmm. and that's not true. Mm-hmm. But as you and I were talking earlier, there is a difference between what we as humans describe as peace and true peace, shalom, like in the Bible. And I think that we can get so caught up in like, this needs to be easy. This needs to be calm.
Doors need to open.
Yeah. I need to have so many green lights.
Things need to align.
Mm-hmm. In order. And then it's God's will. I knew this was God's will because I felt so good about it. Mm-hmm. But sometimes we can deceive ourselves.
We're part of a kingdom, and kingdoms are often at war.
Yeah. And I can just speak from my own experience, and I know you've experienced this, but a lot of the time when I'm following God's will, mm-hmm. I do have peace. Mm-hmm. It's a peace in knowing God is with me. Right. It doesn't always feel good. Mm-mm. Actually, it sometimes feels bad and hard, and like things come against me. And it would be so easy to be like, oh, if that came against me, then God is saying no. Mm-hmm. But that's not always the truth.
Right. No, often when we are following God's will is when all hell will break loose.
You want, we have an enemy that wants to stop you.
And we are going to be in a battle, and it will be difficult. And the only peace we feel is the peace in knowing that I'm following God in the middle of this battle. But it's going to get hard if we want to see God's kingdom come. And that's where we come to the prayer that we're talking about here, is the prayer of relinquishment. Mm-hmm. It's the prayer of saying, God, I let go, not my will. It's the prayer that Jesus prayed in the Garden of Gethsemane, mm-hmm. not my will, but your will be done. I guarantee you, Jesus was in agony when he prayed that.
Yeah.
It did not feel peaceful knowing that he was about to bear the burdens and the sins of the entire world, of all humanity.
Not peaceful like we would say as humans. Yeah.
No.
Not easy.
Awful. It felt torturous.
He cried.
Right. He cried. He sweated blood. Like mm-hmm. it was awful and it was difficult. But where he came to was saying, your kingdom come. On may your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Mm-hmm. Whatever you want, God, I'm willing to do that. I'm willing to live that here and now.
Even though it's hard.
Right. This is a hard prayer. When we relinquish control, we're saying, God, it's not about me. It's not about what I want. You know what I want. God knows. Mm-hmm. He knows, and we can tell him, and that's fine. But then there's this moment where we just let go of it. And with open hands, we say, God, it's all you. It's what you want for my life. It's what you want for my family. It's what you want for my career. It's what you want for control. It's what you want for my reputation. And God, if that means that my reputation is going to be slandered, so be it if it advances your kingdom. Mm-hmm. If that means that I'm not going to have the job that I want, so be it if that advances your kingdom.
But how many of us cannot do that? How many of us can say, like, I don't care if everyone slanders me. I don't care if everyone dislikes me.
Yeah.
I don't care if God's telling me to go to a different job, even though it makes no sense. Yeah. It's hard to relinquish those things.
It's so difficult. And in these seasons where I have been asked to do this, excuse me, it takes a lot of breaking sometimes to where I finally am like, okay, I give up. I've been trying to hold control. I've been trying to do things my way. I've been trying to advance my own kingdom. I get it, God. It's not about me. And, you know, last year there was this place where I came to of feeling this prayer of relinquishment. And I think think I may have even talked about, you know, Wesley's covenant prayer. And in Wesley's covenant prayer, he says something along the lines of, you know, may I be used by thee or laid aside by thee. And that to me is the ultimate prayer of relinquishment. God, I want to do great things for your kingdom. I want to be used by you. But if it brings you more glory to not be, like, this brings me to tears to say that. If it brings you more glory to lay me aside, then lay me aside, God. Like, whatever it is that you want to do, whatever will bring you the glory, whatever will advance your kingdom, God, do it. If it means that I'm silent, if it means I don't preach again, so be it. If it means that you move me somewhere where I'm going to be in a difficult situation, do it. If it means, you know, like, whatever it is, God, if it means that you strip everything I have, take it.
Mm-hmm.
So hard to pray this. And yet that's what this prayer is. May your kingdom come. May your will be done. God, whatever I hope for, whatever I want, it doesn't matter. And it's nothing compared to doing your will.
Right.
And I know as I am saying this, like, this is so hard.
It's even hard to hear, but what is the good that comes from it? Like, the building of his kingdom in his way is so much better than our short-sighted view.
And to get to this place, I think we again just have to remember, and in the Psalms, it comes up over and over again, the brevity of life.
Right.
If I'm focused on building my kingdom, it's because I think that my life is something. My life is but a breath. I am but dust. I am nothing compared to God.
Mm-hmm.
And so, God, with this little that I have, with this little that I am, like, I just keep thinking YOLO, like, you only live once, but literally YOLO, like, I only have one life here to give to you, God.
Mm-hmm.
So who am I to say that I am the queen of my kingdom? Who am I to say that anything that I want to create is worth anything compared to what you want to create or do through me?
And we have this false idea that we all get to live X amount of years. I mean, I know a lot of us have dealt with death, but we have this idea that we are going to live a long time. Mm-hmm. And in reality, even if we live till we're 80 or 90, it's not that long and it's not that many days. Bob Goff counts down. I think I might have said this, and he was like, yeah, I know it's kind of morbid, but he counts down. He like picked an age.
Yep, like, I'm going to live till
85 or something. Yeah. And he counts down the days, and every day he sees this timer. I don't think I could do that, but he's reminded, oh, my life is short. I want to do everything I can for God.
Right. I've only got this many days left.
Yeah.
And this is hard. And part of relinquishment is struggle.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's Jesus saying, you know, if you could take this cup from me.
Yeah, exactly.
I don't really want to do this. I don't want to give this up. Like, there are things that I will give to God and I'm like, I want to open my hand and I just can't quite, like, I want to give this over to you, God. I want to say, take it, take them, take whatever it is. God, you know my heart. And there are times when in giving it up, God's going to give it back to us.
Mm-hmm.
But there are times when we give it up and we've given it up and it's not coming back.
Mm-hmm.
So hard.
It is hard.
It is so, so hard because relinquishment is a crucifixion of our will.
Mm-hmm.
It's saying, put what I want on the cross.
Yeah. I'm going to read this quote by Richard Foster, my friend Rich. maybe. Oh, here it is. Right? Yeah. To applaud the will of God, to do the will of God, even to fight for the will of God is not difficult until it comes at cross purposes with our own will. Then lines are drawn, the debate begins, and self-deception takes over. And I really liked that because it's like, oh yeah, I'm doing God's will. It works really good with my schedule right now. Yeah, I'm all for the kingdom when it fits into my timeline and everything is coming really easy right now. Things are going good. But the second it's like, nope, this is what I want. And it goes against what you want.
Give something up.
Yeah, it's hard. And you struggle and you have an internal battle. Like he says, the debate begins and self-deception takes over. We can convince ourselves, and I've done it, mm-hmm. that we are following God's will when we're not.
Yeah.
But I'm always led back to the place of relinquishment, and it is better. Mm-hmm. And sometimes I don't see that here. Like, I know I will see it someday. Mm-hmm. Sometimes I don't see the good that comes from it right away, or mm-hmm. I don't even know if I'll see it in this lifetime. But then we go back to that shalom, mm-hmm. not the peace that is on earth, but the shalom that God gives and knowing he is with me. Mm-hmm. And I feel that so strongly that it is still good, like even if I don't know why.
Yes. Yes. Yeah. God. When we lived in the townhouse that year, and I felt like God had just stripped everything from us, went to Hobby Lobby one day and saw a sign that said, "It is well with my soul." And I bought it because I thought, literally, that's all I have anymore, God, is knowing that if I die today, my soul is with you, because it felt like God had taken everything else.
That is wild, because when I was having my miscarriages, that was the song I repeatedly listened to. And I really did feel shalom mm-hmm. during that, and like knowing my soul was well mm-hmm. with him, even though.
Yeah, like I feel like I've lost everything mm-hmm. in this world. Who, you know, our identity felt like it had been taken. Like, we're no longer pastors. We're, you know, we're just living.
Yeah.
We don't even have our stuff. It's all in storage. We don't have control. My mom's making the meal plan. You know, like, everything had been taken is what it felt like. And that song, "It Is Well With My Soul," like, I had to just keep preaching to myself.
Me too.
The only thing that is guaranteed will not be taken in this world. And so when we, and that time, I think it felt like it had all been taken and I did not relinquish it. And I think in that season, what I've learned is that I want to be quick to say, take it. I want to be quick to say, God, it's your will. It's your way. It's your kingdom. Whatever you want. I don't like it, but take it, because I was fighting and I was grasping and I didn't want to let go of things that time. And so now in this season that I've been in this last year, it's just like, okay, God.
But it still hurts and breaks your heart.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
But having open hands versus closed fists makes a difference.
I want to end with this verse out of Matthew 6:33. Okay. So we're looking further down in this chapter of Matthew that we're in. "Seek the kingdom of God above all else and live righteously, and he will give you everything you need." Seek. We are supposed to seek after. We are supposed to desire and aim for. Make the kingdom the priority of our lives. Every day, that's what I'm striving towards, is the kingdom, is mm-hmm. God's kingdom. I am supposed to look for it. I get to choose my priority. And so I choose to seek the kingdom every day above all else, right? So before anything else, and this is what I'm trying to learn, like when I wake up in the morning, I want my first breath to be looking for his kingdom. I want my first breath to say, God, how can I serve you today? What do you want today? What is your will? How will your kingdom come through me today? And then it says, and live righteously. So we're supposed to do what is deemed right by the Lord, not on our own, but in his will. We're just seeking after him every day. And then what is the promise? We think we know what's best. We think we know what we need. We think we know what we want when we are looking for control. And he's saying, just seek. Seek my